الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and the God whom no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God and the seal of all the prophets. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace that we hope to receive on the day of resurrection. The greetings, which means may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. I have just a few announcements today, and I have a new guest with us today. Someone I've been trying to get on the radio for probably 3 or 4 weeks. We have Miss Jasmine Offhammer. I want to give her the Islamic greeting of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salam. Thank you for having me.
Okay, she's here today, and she's going to speak about her journey to Islam, the beginning to where she is today. And so this should be a nice, interesting story. We do this from time to time because there are many people out there who share the same experience, go through some of the same challenges in reference to navigating themselves to find true guidance. I say true guidance because the guidance that Almighty God gives us is true guidance. There's a lot of knowledge out there that's not beneficial knowledge, and it's not true guidance. But the knowledge that Almighty God gives us, it is true knowledge and it is true guidance. So we're going to speak with her in reference to her Islamic journey just in a few minutes. I want to announce about our Jumu'ah service that we have every Friday. It is at 2 p.m. at 1410 Cemetery Avenue, 1410 Cemetery Avenue. Also, we have a Quran class, and this is a nice class, especially for new converts, you might say, because the class is all in English. It's an open forum where you can ask questions, have discussions, and we go from the beginning to the end. Very nice if you like to come and learn about the Quran. I really advise people who are interested in Islam. You don't have to be a Muslim, but if you have questions about Islam, you're interested in Islam, come and have a seat from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., just 1 hour, and we discuss the Quran. Everything is in English. I know sometimes language intimidates people, but this class is in English, and you can ask questions and, you know, whatever you want to do in this class. It's an open class where we can have some meaningful discussions. This is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at 1410 Cemetery Avenue. And hopefully in another week or two, we're going to start an Arabic class there, probably from the same time, 7 to 8. And it will be teaching people who want to learn how to read the Quran in Arabic, who wants to learn the alphabets and so forth to understand the Quran and be able to read it. It would be from 7 to 8. So that's in the works because we have many people who email us and ask questions and say, you know, who can teach me the Arabic language? Why is that important? Because the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. It was revealed in the Arabic language. And if you want to understand anything, you have to understand the language it was revealed in. You know, the biblical scripture, it wasn't revealed in English. The Bible was not revealed in English. You know, Jesus spoke Aramaic, which is very close to Arabic. So what you're reading in English, it is not the true words and meaning of what Jesus, peace be upon him, delivered to his people. You're reading a translation. Someone in their own mind have translated these gospels and different revelations to put sometimes their own meaning in it. So to get the root of anything, and you can't get any deeper than the root, you have to speak the language or at least learn the language or be able to understand the language that those revelations were revealed in. So, alhamdulillah, we got a lot of young people today who's eager to learn how to read, and this would be great in our community. So maybe in another week, I've said 2 weeks, but maybe in another week or two, we will have that class up and running. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will speak to Miss Jasmine.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum. Hope everyone is doing well today. I want to give Jasmine the Islamic greeting again of Assalamu alaikum. And this greeting is the greeting that Muslims greet each other every single day. Matter of fact, it is a command in our scripture that when we see each other, we say Assalamu alaikum. So this is the greeting that I'm giving her today. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, so Jasmine, we're going to start off with you just telling the listeners a little about yourself.
Okay. My name is Jasmine, Jasmine Offhammer, and I am originally from upstate New York, and I moved to Chattanooga about a year and a half ago.
You moved by yourself?
Yes, I did. I had traveled in between before I came to Chattanooga and settled for a bit.
Right, so all of your education and schooling and everything is in New York?
Yes, as in high school and others, and as in family, they're all in New York, but I'm doing college online still.
No, that's good. So what year did you move here?
I moved here January of 2025.
25, oh, so you're new here?
Yes.
So how are you liking the city?
I love it. It's a very active city. And diverse, and there's a lot of involvement with the community.
Yeah. Okay. And you're working here and everything, right?
Yes. Yes, I currently do work over here.
Okay. So, speaking about your journey to Islam, just to let everyone know, and this is also very important because people don't really understand that there's a big difference than someone who was born a Muslim in a particular faith and those who had to, you know, think about it, evaluate, study, and decide, I want to be a Muslim, right?
Right.
So growing up, what was kind of your religious background growing up?
I wouldn't put myself in a category as, like, Christian or Baptist. Obviously, I had gone to church in a Christian area, but I never really belonged there, if that made sense. I never put myself in the box of a Christian. We were always bouncing from churches to find one that we felt acceptable for us.
For your family.
Yeah. And I was so young at the time. I think I probably left church around 13, 14. We were just trying to find one that would give us better clarity and just accept our family as a whole.
So you all were active participants?
Yes, but I wouldn't say active as in like being a Christian active outside, I would say just being more so a follower.
Well, I mean, you always attending church regularly.
Yes.
Yeah, most people going to say that's being active, because some people don't go at all, or they're very inconsistent in going.
Yeah. We were active, but it was a different church every week.
Is that right?
Yes, because we were trying to find one that would accept our family. Because, you know, young kids in there, they can be loud, like a disturbance, some may say, during the ceremony. And my mom just wanted one that would accept all of us.
So it was quite a number of your family members that were going?
Yes, there was six of us. I have five other siblings.
Okay.
And my mom.
Okay, I know you were young at that time, but what you didn't get about the church that kind of made you fall away from it?
I think it really had to do with the leaders, the pastors of each church. You know, you would sit there during ceremony, and they would talk about everybody's accepted and loved by who they call Jesus,
right,
who is God to them. And but we didn't feel that love. We didn't feel that love in the stands, because my sister, who is on the spectrum, you know, she has her own way of expressing joy and love to worship God. And sometimes it may be louder than others, or sometimes it may be quiet or moving around, and they would want her somewhere else other than in the service.
Oh.
So, and ever since that, we've just been trying to find a place to call home to worship our God.
So. Okay, what about the theological part of the religion, like understanding who God is and the different commandments and putting in the application of the faith?
During that time?
Yeah, I know you were young then, but still, this is stressed in the church.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't really that deep into it.
Right.
It was more so because I'm showing up, I'm there, more as a follower.
You mean your parents are making you go, or telling you all to go?
No, my mom never made us go. It was more so a choice within ours if we wanted to go or not. But I grew up in a small town, and it's nice to be around your community at times.
Okay. To be social.
Right.
Yeah, you found like a social need there.
Right.
I understand. So you're like a teenager now, and when you kind of backed away from being active or going?
Yeah, around that time. Like, around when I was a teenager, we stopped growing due to everybody going their own ways in life and circumstances at home and
right.
And our own belief. And it just took that, it was that one time it just took for my mom to finally accept it and be like, we don't need to be in a church to worship God. Mm-hmm. And that's where it kind of went a little bit more spiritually, because we stepped away from the community.
Right. And you hear many people say that. And it's really true. I mean, you don't have to be confined in a building or a facility to worship. I think that's the problem now. I mean, people think they got to have to be righteous once they enter this church or a masjid or whatever. But the most important thing is to be God conscious outside those buildings. That's more important. So did you ask any questions about anything about the religion or so forth? You had any questions?
No, I never had any questions about Christianity. I just went. And even though I joined like Bible study and stuff, it was more so like, it felt more so as fun than educational.
Right.
So I just never really asked any questions, because, you know, as a kid, you just go, you observe, like, everything around you, so.
Absolutely. So now, at some point, what did you do? You went on your own and went to college, left home?
No. When I graduated in 2022, I felt a call to step outside of my hometown. Because, you know, you've seen everything, you've done everything, and you get tired. So as soon as I missed my high school graduation because I wanted to volunteer in Zanzibar in Africa. So obviously that's not the norm for some kids my age to skip the most important day of their life is graduating high school. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to volunteer for my day. So, and as soon as I gone over there, I didn't do any research. I'm going to be honest, I did not do any research of the culture.
Did you go with an organization?
Yeah, I went with Give Volunteers.
Okay.
I went by myself, but when I went over there, I met the group, the tour guides.
Okay.
It was really safe. But I had booked a trip last minute, like 3 weeks before graduation, and didn't do any research of anything, of how I should dress or what you should do before you go. But as soon as I had gone over there, I realized it was an Islamic community, and that kind of shifted my whole perspective on it.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't know anything about Islam at this time?
Before that trip, I've heard of it because my cousin, she's Muslim. But I never experienced it in person.
Yeah.
So that was the eye awakening for me.
Right. So what was the shocking thing about you when you got there and saw the people, you know, living their lives as Muslims?
I think the most shocking thing was when you see a Muslim woman wearing her hijab and like
a covering.
Yeah, covering up in like 100 degrees weather, you can easily like identify like, wow, her dedication and her values are more than what meets the eye. Like, you know what she stands for.
Right.
Like, you won't see the type of culture we have over here in America where if you're uncovered, you'll get unwanted attention. Over there, you can see, like, people know how to approach the woman.
Right. Are they respected?
Yes, very much so.
So is Zanzibar a majority Islamic country or it's mixed?
I would say a majority of it is a Muslim country.
Okay. So did you find any Islamic connection just seeing the culture and the living style of the people there? Did you start learning anything about Islam there?
Bits and pieces. Because there was so much to take in. It was my first time being in Africa, and it was also my first time going on a trip by myself outside the country. So when I had volunteered, I was helping teach English to the older woman, and we were building the school. And on the way to the school, there was a mosque, and I would hear the noise when it was that time to pray. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was until then. I started asking questions and like, this is time to prayer. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
So.
How long were you there?
2 weeks. And then I just felt I had to come back. So I went back the next year.
For again. Another 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So what were you all basically doing? Just providing like charity service, education, resources and things like this?
For us, it was kind of like a trade. We help you, you help us. So I was helping them teach English, and we were building the school, and they taught us about their culture. They took us into the town, showed us some historic museums and historic places all around. The history of stuff was really beautiful. But It was definitely
eye-opening, huh?
Yeah.
Is there any other part of Africa you visited?
Not yet.
Do you want to go back?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay. So that was your first touch with Islam, I imagine.
Yes.
Right. So before that, did you know anything about Muslims? You have a cousin, you said?
Yes. She would brief me in on some stuff because, like, I would ask her, like, stuff about Christmas. Like, I would say, like, stuff about Christmas to her, and she's like, I don't celebrate it. I'm Muslim. But I didn't really know what that meant at the time because I didn't do my own research because, you know, cousins and stuff. But now I fully understand why she doesn't celebrate certain holidays or why she doesn't eat certain foods and stuff. So, yeah.
So did you have a negative concept or a positive concept, or you just in neutral about Islam?
At the time when my cousin was telling me about it,
yeah,
it was kind of just neutral almost. And then when I went to experience it, it was a positive.
Positive?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So when did you kind of get serious about really trying to understand what the religion was all about?
I would say that trip.
That trip?
That trip. Most definitely, because ever since I left that trip, I've just been following signs. And obviously, I'm not going to overload myself with information within a few hours, but it's taken me a few years to learn more. And even before I converted, as you know, I was taking the Quran class for at least six, seven months before. So, yeah.
So, you do believe in signs?
Yes. but not the way you think a lot of people do.
Right.
I'm not like, oh, 444, that's my sign.
No.
I'm more so, wow, this was placed here for me to change my life in a better way.
Right.
So, like, when I went to Zanzibar, as, like, we were all in a group, and we were walking down that boardwalk, and a group of schoolgirls, they all came towards me. I don't know why they came towards me, but I just felt that connection.
That was a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of young hijabis.
Wow.
Who came up to me, wanted a photo with me. And I was like, I'm taking this as a sign and I'm running with it.
Right. Well, so, I mean, it's nothing wrong with looking at things like that in life.
Yeah.
Signs, because especially if it has meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing just happens.
Right.
Everything has a meaning that enters your life, or somebody comes across your path. So it's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that, because, I mean, Islam speaks about signs. I mean, the whole Quran, we're reading ayats. Ayat mean what? Signs.
Right.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that really impact your feeling about the religion.
Yeah, because going back to when I was going to church.
Right.
That sense of belonging, even showing up consistently sometimes, you never got a group of people who would, like, welcome you like the strangers did on that boardwalk.
Mm.
So it's like a whole different shift of perspective. Like, you women don't know me, but you're willing to welcome me into your homeland and everything, compared to a place where I grew up in, and I've known these people for a long time. Never felt that type of
connection.
Yeah.
Did you ever go inside of a mosque or anything over there?
No. No. The first time I went to... No, because I didn't convert then.
They wouldn't let you just come in and...
I'm sure they would have, but I was uneducated. I didn't know how to properly dress in the area or inside a mosque, so I didn't want to take a chance to go in there and disturb the woman and the men in there.
Okay. So, I mean, like you said earlier, you was in our Quran class for a while, and that was surprising to many of us, especially me. How long were you in the class?
Since August, I think.
6 months or more?
Yeah. Yes, I think since August.
Yeah, and I thought all that time you were Muslim.
No, I
was surprised when, you know, I think I asked you, when did you take your Shahada? And I mean, become a Muslim, and you said, I haven't. That was surprising because you was dressed like a Muslim. I mean, you participated like everyone else. And a good thing, you had a lot of questions. Questions are good when you're learning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very surprising to me. I mean, that never happened before. We have people come in and out, but you were there every week for 6 months. So that tells me that you was very serious and being very careful to make sure this is what I want to do, that I'm making the right choice for me.
Right.
Is that how it was?
Yeah. It's kind of similar to like when you buy a new car and you want to test drive it. I had started practicing wearing the hijab in 2025, in like November.
The scarf.
Yeah.
And you're not a Muslim and you're wearing a scarf.
Right.
Wow.
But I wasn't wearing it as often as I'd like to at the time, only due to trying to find my comfort with wearing it. Just trying to be confident with wearing it. And then until I moved to Chattanooga. And
you in New York wearing it?
No, I had lived in Iowa.
Iowa, okay.
Yeah.
What kind of experience was that in Iowa?
It was interesting because the job that I had over there, I've never seen anything like it. It was, it had a lot of Muslim women there.
In Iowa?
Yes. In a warehouse job.
Mm-hmm.
And they would pray at the time, like the job would allow you to pray when it was time, and just being in an environment with a bunch of Muslim women and knowing that I'm interested in converting definitely helped encourage my decision and made it a little bit more confident to wear a hijab.
Okay, so when you came to Chattanooga, you were still wearing it?
Yes.
Sometime?
Yes. Yes, I think, if I remember correctly, the only time that I didn't wear it before then was at the gym and work.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how to dress properly for the gym or how to go about it at work either, so.
Right. So did you have good experience? Anybody make any comments, or did you feel a little different by wearing it?
Yeah, I had some good experiences. Sometimes I would be approached by other hijabis, and they were like, oh, when did you convert? And I would tell them, I haven't. I'm just trying to...
Social experiment, huh?
Yeah. So, but it's definitely being on the other side and being on this side from not wearing a hijab to wearing a hijab, I don't get the attention that I used to in a good way. Like, it's more peaceful. Like, when someone sees me wearing a hijab, they know what I stand for and how I carry myself. So it's good.
Right. Do you think you get more respect?
Most definitely.
Especially from men?
Yes. Yeah. I would get catcalled, you know, from a bunch of men before.
Yeah.
In a way that honestly did make me feel so unsafe to be out in public.
Right.
So, but now wearing a hijab, I can go on about my day.
They don't bother you anymore.
No.
And see, that's what Allah says in the Quran. Allah tells women to wear it so that you can be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hiding. You're letting people know that I'm a different person.
Right.
I'm not that woman that you know, you can just come up and talk to. And that's what throw men off, I mean. So, and that's exactly why Allah says in the Quran to cover yourself so that when you go abroad or anywhere, that you will be recognized as a righteous woman.
Yeah.
Men don't know how to deal with that. Unrighteous men don't know how to deal with that. So that eliminated a lot of problems for you, huh?
It did. It kind of felt abnormal at first.
Yeah.
Because, like going out, looking around, like, why? What's different about me today that it's not attracting these people?
Right.
And then I'm like, it's the hijab. It's kind of made me feel a little bit more safer, protected.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So did you start reading the Quran with us, or did you just start reading the Quran before we met you?
I started reading it with you.
With us?
Yes.
Okay. So did you find it somewhat different than what you grew up with in the biblical scripture, or what's your opinion of the Quran?
I think reading it in class has definitely given me a bit more reasoning to love Islam. Only because when I read it, everything makes logical sense, in my head at least. And it just kind of sticks, and then I just try and implement it in my day-to-day life. But compared to like reading a Bible, I don't think I ever really, I've never really sat down and read a Bible.
Really?
No, I mean we would read like a verse or stuff.
You weren't reading chapters like we're doing now.
No.
Or breaking down verses like we are.
No.
Oh.
I had a few Bibles.
Yeah.
But I never sat down and felt interested to pick it up and read it.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, the Quran is the religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to just be matter of fact about it, if anyone wants to know what Islam is about, it's not about studying the lives of Muslims. Because Muslims make mistakes like everyone else. They're human. We have weaknesses or whatever. But the Quran is the religion. If you want to know the religion, you have to read the Quran. And I noticed one thing about you. You ask a lot of questions, which is good. Yeah, you made me do my homework. That's very good. I mean, because being inquisitive about the Quran and different verses like that, it does stick. It does stick. Because in your lifetime, hopefully you'll be reading it over and over and over and again. And these stories and reasons why these verses were revealed, every time you read it, it's going to come back to you like that.
Right.
And another thing, Allah is giving you the answer to many questions you're going to get in this life from people, you know, especially being a revert, a convert, or whatever. Usually all the questions are going to be the same. I mean, they don't make up new questions. You have people who are genuinely interested in the religion. Why did you accept the religion? And they're going to ask you those questions. They're going to be the same. And you're going to have those mean-spirited people who are not genuinely asking you to know, learn anything. They're just asking you questions to try to hurt you in some way or bring some type of harm to you in some way. And usually all of those questions are going to be the same. Most of them are going to be the same. So you know the ones who are coming with a good heart, with good intentions, and those that's coming to bring you some type of harm. And that's what you got to differentiate, you know, living in this society that we live in today.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
So what was it, the tip, what tipped the scale for you now?
To convert?
Yeah, I mean, when was it that you felt in your heart that I think this may be the religion for me?
I think it was really when I first stepped into the masjid and I took that Quran class.
Downtown?
Yes, down. Oh no. No, let me take that back. It was I went to a revert or convert
on Gun Barrel.
Event, yeah, on Gun Barrel. And that was the first time I stepped into a masjid.
Really? I was there that day.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to you.
Yeah, that's the first time that they had that gathering for converts. That's mm-hmm. the day you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was your first time?
Yes.
Okay, it was a lot of people there that day.
Yeah. And that day, I remember I was like a little bit introverted because I didn't know how to carry myself in there for the first time. But yeah, I think as soon as I broke the ice of finally stepping into a moshpit, mm-hmm. that's when I knew, because I was kind of avoiding to step into it for a little bit, and then I just encouraged myself to.
Did you know any of those other ladies?
No. No. The woman that had invited me there, mm-hmm. she was not there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you find that meeting meaningful?
Yes.
They haven't had another one.
They will be soon.
They will?
Yeah.
Well, the whole purpose was for that to initiate the beginning, I mean, to spring off of that to have more meetings like that periodically.
Right.
So I don't think they've had another one since. But I do know that from that gathering, I met several people who started coming downtown where our mosque is mm-hmm. and started praying and being with us. And that's why those gatherings are so important, because you meet people that are learning. You meet people that you didn't even know that was Muslims in the city. And so you're getting to know everyone. You know, that day everyone had a... Did you speak that day?
I did.
You did?
I did.
I don't remember. And we spoke?
Yeah, we spoke because I was talking and then you were asking me questions about what signs I was seeing, I was experiencing.
Oh, the signs, yeah.
Yeah. And I would talk about my trip and
okay,
all this other stuff.
Okay, okay. So that kind of brought a little comfort connection with you, with other people that was dressing like you and probably thinking on your pattern.
Yes. Yes, that was kind of like the moment I knew I wanted to keep going mm-hmm. with the religion, because, like I said, I was kind of a little bit fearful for a little bit
yeah.
to even step into a masjid. And as soon as I took the opportunity of this event, I had gone, and it's just been going up from there.
Yeah.
So
don't you think accepting the religion is just a constant path of learning all the time?
Yes. I do agree, but I also think it has to do with getting out of your own way, because when you accept the religion, especially here in America, it's not as popular as the other religions. So you'll be like, sometimes you'll be like the only Muslim person in a room.
Yes.
And that could be fearful.
Yeah.
But I just think it's more so just getting out of your own way and following what you believe.
Yeah. And you have to have some confidence.
Right.
And what you believe. That way you won't feel insecure, you mm-hmm. know, being that only Muslim in the room.
Right.
You know, some people feel like that because somebody's going to ask them something and so forth and so forth. But you're right. I mean, we're a minority. But like I was telling the people that come and pray early in the morning, we pray like the prayer comes in at 5:43 in the morning now. And so we're praying about 6 o'clock. We wait 20 minutes. And I was telling them on the morning that, yes, we get up early to pray. But how many people you think right now in your community, right here in Chattanooga, that is up at 5:43 in the morning praying to God?
Right.
How many? Just showing you how valuable and unique a believer or Muslim is. Everybody else most likely asleep. But our religion said, no, get up before the sun comes up, before dawn, prepare yourself to worship God every single morning, no day off. How many people you think in your community is up that time? None, probably. That's how valuable Islam is. So, yeah, you the only person maybe in the room, and we the only people that's doing this. But that's the price we pay for the garden that God has promised the believers.
Yeah.
So that's what motivates us. So I always look at it as it's a unique thing when you find yourself maybe the minority. Minority doesn't mean that in some way you're deficient. It just means, hey, you may be the best, you know.
I kind of see it as like the minority is sometimes it's better to have smaller because the quality is better.
Yes.
Because you're more focused on on the works of it than how many people.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So let me ask you this. What have you found in some way of something difficult in Islam? Because you've been a Muslim now how long?
5 months.
5 months.
Four months. We're in April. Yeah, 4 months.
Okay. But you've been learning way long before that.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot longer before that. So, wow, that's brand new. I mean, your slate hopefully is cleaner than our slate.
So, can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, what have you found difficult in the religion that's kind of giving you some type of pushback?
So far, nothing really. Okay. Because when we read about the Quran in class, it's kind of face value. Like, it's already there.
Mm.
And when I do ask questions, it kind of gives a little bit more clarity and a better understanding to what that topic is really talking about.
Right.
But it's not like it's hidden, like the message is hidden in there or anything. Everything is
transparent.
Yeah, it's right there.
Right. So you're learning your prayers?
Yes. Yeah. I pray. I've been praying every day ever since I converted.
Is that right?
Yes.
Good. So you're learning how to say your prayers in Arabic and everything also?
Yes. I am also taking an Arabic class right now. But I guess this kind of contradicts, but what's been hard for me is the Arabic and just saying like the certain words has just been hard to roll off.
Right.
So.
Because some alphabets we don't have in the English.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you go on, you'll get used to that. The more you're reciting the Arabic and reading the Quran, it's just going to come so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Allah says in the Quran that He has revealed the Quran easy for us to understand. He didn't make it difficult.
Yeah.
You know how many different nationalities and different people all over the world who are Muslims?
Mm-hmm.
I read something the other day where a guy was asking the question, like, why did the Quran come in Arabic? You know, why hasn't it come in many other languages? You know, the Arabic is the thread that ties all the Muslims together. It's where you can go to Zanzibar once you start learning, and when it's come time to pray, you can pray with them in Arabic because they're praying in Arabic. You know what they're saying. You see what I mean? But if you went to China and the Chinese people start speaking in Chinese, you wouldn't understand a word they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Arabic is what connects all of us together. Because that's the language it was revealed in. And you should not change the language that God revealed His revelation in. And number two, you should not change the names of people whom God has mentioned in those revelations to suit the agenda of other people.
Hmm.
And that's what has happened in many other books that came before the Quran. And that's what makes the Quran unique, is that it is the same. It's never been changed. It's still in the original language. So anytime you can go back to the original source, you have checks and bounds to try to keep the religion straight. You know, it's organic, you might say. It's real. And that's the miracle of this religion.
Hmm. I think reflecting back since before I converted, since I converted earlier this year, I've noticed, like, when it's time to pray, I base my whole schedule around it.
That's good.
It's kind of like a lifestyle now, because like if I'm doing something, or if I have to go out during the day, I'm like, oh, I gotta be back for prayer time, or I gotta wake up at this time. But my whole schedule has morphed into something bigger than it was before now.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be.
And it just feels abnormal. Like sometimes it just feels weird, because like as a woman, you know, sometimes you can't pray.
Right.
But when it comes during that time, it's just like my schedule is kind of thrown off.
Right. Okay. What about when you're at work?
When I'm at work, do I pray? Unfortunately, because of the work environment, it's kind of filthy.
Right.
So I don't want to pray in
you,
a filthy
you work
area.
Third shift, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you can whatever prayer you miss, you know you can make it up.
Right.
Right.
Which I do. As soon as I get home, I clean myself and and pray. And then I start my day.
Yeah. And especially for women too, on a job where you're working around men, mm-hmm. you want to have a private place to pray, because you don't want to be, you know how we pray, we bend and, you know, bow, and you don't want to do that in front of men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to make up your prayer when you're at home, or if they provide you a nice area, private area, which most a lot of people do today, where you can go in and make your prayer.
But it's more so, even though like the areas kind of a little bit filthy, it's the bathrooms too. So
they're nasty too.
Yeah, I don't go in there. So
yeah, so I mean, kind of what you're referring to, before we pray, we wash ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is a part of the prayer, to wash certain parts of our body to be clean, because it's a preparation to make the prayer.
Yeah.
So what are some of your aspirations and goals that you want to maybe achieve? Maybe short-term goals, maybe. I mean, you're already on the right path, what you're doing. Excellent.
I think short-term goals, I would like to be a little bit more hands-on in the community in some ways as possible, as much as I can. I'd want to learn Arabic so I can really have that connection like we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just want to succeed in every aspect that I have to.
Right. Well, is it anything you feel that the community is not doing or could be doing better to help you?
No, I think everybody in the community is doing great. But I do also believe that I guess I do wish that more people my age were involved.
Mm-hmm.
or even all age groups, actually. I wish more people showed up to the classes on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And got involved and learned more.
Do you get the emails from ISGC on Gun Barrel?
Yes.
Okay. So out there now, they do have a lot of youth programs, you know, sisters your age.
Is it? I'm in the WhatsApp one.
Well,
I don't know if the Gmail's different than
whatever they send out in the Gmail. They also duplicate that in the WhatsApp.
Okay.
So you're getting it. But I'm just saying they have a lot of young ladies your age out there and younger that have. They have like competition, Islamic competition programs and youth programs, especially now since it's summer. They do a lot of outdoor activities that they go out and do. So you might want to try to get plugged into that, or when you go out there sometime, ask them about it, because it is important.
Yeah.
Downtown, we don't have a lot of a youth like that, you know. Some of them are, you know, mid-age or older. But out of ISGC, it's a larger, you know, bigger community.
Yeah.
So you might want to volunteer sometime with the Sunday school if you have time, or volunteer for some of the other programs out there, because they have all ages out there. You might want to do that. That would help you. Plus, it's going to acclimate you into some of the different personalities and people you know, and dealing with those kids out there will really tune you up. What about the month of fasting?
What about it? How?
Yeah, your experience.
Oh, it was good this year. Obviously, I've tried it the past few years, but I didn't go fully in since I didn't convert. I wasn't praying like last year or before that. But fasting this year, it went really good.
It went good?
Yeah.
No difficulty?
No, it was easy.
It was easy?
Yeah. I think what was a little bit difficult, if I had to pick at it a bit, was trying to break fast and then pray and figure that out. And yeah. Then the last prayer, we do the extra prayers, which I was doing. So that was a little bit difficult for me too, trying to discipline myself and stay a little bit longer to pray.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you're brand new. I mean, so hopefully Allah bless you to have many, many more years of learning. But I do say that I believe that if you keep yourself on this path of being in contact with the community, coming to the classes, this is the only way you're going to learn and benefit. A person, there are many people out there right now, believe me, who will tell you that they are Muslims, but you never see them.
Yeah.
And they're not learning. And they'll tell you they've been Muslims for 20, 15, 20, 20 years, whatever. But they're not connected. And like the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the wolf will always get the sheep that strays away. And so if you're not connected, and like I said before, and I'll always say, Islam is about learning. Knowledge is what's going to keep your path with light. If you're not always learning something, studying, have your head in a book, then you're going to get diverted in this life. People are going to take advantage of you. You're going to be an ignorant person of your faith, because everything about our religion is in a book. It's been written down. All of the revelations are written down. So if you're not tapping into that, and Islam is a social religion, let me say that too. You can't be a Muslim and just totally isolate yourself from everybody. You know, living in a cave somewhere. No, you have to socialize, especially men. Now, women, you know, don't have to interact with men and all things like that. But coming to the masjid or the mosque, being active with classes, activities, and social things that we do is very important, because it's going to keep you connected with the people that's worshiping with you and praying like you. And now you're going to be learning different things in religion. What separates a good Muslim from a bad Muslim is knowledge, beneficial knowledge, and being active in the community. So this is some advice I'm giving you that that helped me along the way, because Islam is not just a religion. It's the way of life. It's the way you live. We don't put our religion up on the shelf and take it down on certain days. I mean, it's with us 24/7. Every day. So we have a few minutes before we go off the air. Anything you want to enlighten us with?
Not that I can think of, unless you have something.
Now, you say you have a online organization, or you used to do that?
No, I used to do social media.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to.
So you don't do that anymore at all?
No. When I started to take learning Islam more seriously, I deleted it.
What were you, like an influencer or something?
Yeah, I just posted like fitness content, travel content, nutrition.
Okay.
All of it. So.
Okay. What do you think you maybe, what skill set you have right now that can help the Muslim community?
I would say I'm pretty dedicated. So.
You like, mean like being involved?
Are you referring to like my skill set from being on social media?
Yeah, anything like that, technology or whatever.
Maybe like the social aspect, even though I come off as an introvert, but once I get familiar and comfortable, I'm very, very talkative and stuff.
That's good. Well, okay, I appreciate you coming today, and I want to let everyone know that if they need any type of Islamic material from us, that is 100% free. Also, you know, from time to time, just like you took your Shahada. Shahada means the declaration of faith. Am I right?
Yes.
It's bearing witness that there is only one God to be worshipped. That is the core of faith, to believe in one deity. And that deity is not a human being. And to believe that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the final messenger of God that came in the line of many, many prophets. So if there's anyone listening today who's on the verge of accepting Islam or wants to accept Islam, my number is 706-459-1010. You don't have to come to the mosque to become a Muslim. Only thing you need to do is bear witness to the belief in the oneness of God, and that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the final messenger of God. And after you make that declaration of faith, you act upon it, just like what Jasmine is doing now. You act. Belief is in the heart, but the amplification of that belief is coming by you actively getting involved with the religion like you're doing today. So I want to thank you for coming. And again, the invitation out there for anyone who wants to accept their Shahada, accept the faith and take their Shahada. You can text me 706-459-1010, or if you need a Quran, 706-459-1010. If you want to come to our classes, it's 706-459-1010. Our website is uidf.org, uidf.org. Want to give you the greeting again, and thank you for coming, and you think you'll come back?
Most definitely.
Inshallah.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So until we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.